Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, good evening. This is Walls in Our Minds. This is Terry Dodd. I'm here with my co-host tonight, Dr. Kate, and shortly our other co-host, Red Beckman, will be joining us. But Kate, until Red joins us, I think you and I should stay off of the main topic until he joins us and discuss a few other current events. Are you there with me?
Sure. That sounds like a great idea. Good evening, Terry.
Good evening. Well, I just wrote in the chat, I don't know if you saw it, I said we should have our own debate because it would certainly be more interesting than the one on Tuesday night.
Definitely. Way more interesting, more factual. We wouldn't have any media in between, holding up portable speakers or, crib notes. And you and I would be forced to tell the truth. And that is what these debates don't do. And, it's just an outrageous situation. So I agree. We can have our own debate, but I think actually we'd probably be on the same side. But it would be a very different discussion, wouldn't you say?
Well, I could play devil's advocate.
I know. You can do that quite well. I've been known to say, okay, that's enough.
On occasion, yes, indeed.
Yes.
Well, seriously, was there anything that you came out of that debate with that was any news to you or anything that, you didn't expect?
Yes, there's a lot, and I just wondered if perhaps we could start with a prayer to help our words this evening, because I would feel more comfortable spilling my guts if we had that blessing.
All right. Would you like for me to open us in prayer?
I really would. Thank you, Terry.
You're welcome. Heavenly Father, we come to you humbled. Especially by when we look at your word and we see how much of this you foresaw and actually told us was coming. And when we look at your word and then look around us and see things through your eyes, Father, we recognize the value of this life, of this world, and the battle that's raging at the spiritual level that Satan wants to reclaim your creation. He wants to take your place. And there's so many that are following him that want to also be you. And none of us can. We're not you. We are a part of your creation, and we acknowledge you as the creator. And we thank you and honor you for giving us an opportunity to be sustained eternally along with you and your son. We welcome that opportunity to have you as our God, to have your son as our Savior. We welcome that because we recognize that your wisdom and your righteousness, your holiness is so far apart and different than what we experience around us and the people around us and even ourselves. And we recognize that the free will that you've given us presents a danger in that we have the choice to not follow your truth. We have a choice to consume others. We have a choice to die in sin. We're thankful for that choice, and we're especially thankful that you've shown us a path that will keep us from that death, that second death, that spiritual death. So, Father, we just we lift up praise to you, and we invite your Spirit in this night in this discussion. And I especially pray for my good friend, Dr. Kate, that you would fill her tonight with your Spirit, that you would speak through her. And in fact, we ask you to speak for us. We need you to take control of our words and our thoughts, for we know that we are fallen. We know that we need the righteousness of your Son to clothe us in order that we might have an audience with you and be given that opportunity to live eternally. So we invite your Spirit tonight and always to fill us and to go before us and to intercede for us. We just praise you, Father. And we also lift up our brother Red. Don't know if Red's online yet or not, but he's been having continued health issues. And I'm just thankful that he's stronger today and that he'll be joining us tonight. But we ask for your healing hand on him. We're not ready to let him go. And he is a great mentor and leader of this little group here. And he has been a great blessing to so many people. And we know that that's because he is yours. And we pray that we be also. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. That was really beautiful.
Well, it's real. It's about the only thing that is real. I just feel like I'm living in some kind of fictional story. It's like... It's just hard to imagine that people are so into self and so wrapped up in their entertainment and their egos. And, you know, it even surprises me when I find myself falling into those traps or having those desires. But it's just amazing that people have gotten so far away from our founding principles and away from God's truth, and they don't recognize the benefit of natural law to themselves. It's just like I'm living in some kind of a bad dream out there, and, you know, not being able to trust people and not trust their judgment, not able to trust their discernment. I mean, we look at this election, Kate, that we're faced with right now. Do you trust the voters of the United States? That's not a rhetorical question.
You know,
and why don't you? Why can't we trust the American people? Like, you know, when I was growing up, I thought I could trust the bulk of American people, but I've got to a point where I don't. Kate, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Well, you know, when we, as we have worked in our last several weeks, and as at least me personally, my growth of understanding of spirit has come along, and as we look at the Constitution and who is responsible really for letting it down, and where we find ourselves today, you know, I don't trust the American people. That's probably too harsh. I'm not comfortable that people know what they're doing, and I guess that's a better way to say it. I'm not comfortable, and Why is because we have all of these layers, none of which are about what our topic is tonight, what we are really struggling against.
Well, I want to welcome Red, who you've given a live mic to, I take it.
Yes.
Good evening, Red.
Hi, Red.
Hi, Kate. Terry.
I hope you've had a better day today.
I had a full day, which is something I really didn't need right now. But we are supposed to be getting some rain over the next few days, and I've got too many projects going that need sunshine and dry weather, and we're not going to get it, I'm afraid. So I'm a little late. I had the tractor down in a coulee, and I had to have my trophy wife drive the tractor, and I was hooked on to the tractor with the cat and the winch, and I winched her up out of the pit, out of the coulee, because it's too wet. I've been down there before, but it's too wet, and we were just spinning our wheels. So I was just fortunate that I had a cat with a logging winch right there, and so I was able to pull it up. So here I am, a little late, but hopefully I can fit into your show here tonight somehow or other. I want to see where you're going.
Well, I want to give an answer to the question that I threw at Kate a while ago, Red, about I've reached a point where I really don't trust the voting public of the United States anymore. I've got to the point where I do not believe they're capable of making good choices. And Kate, let me answer that question. Why I don't trust them. And it's because of what Red has said. Red has brought out the fact that people who believe the lies of tyrants are more dangerous than the tyrants themselves. And that's where we are. I have come to the point of recognizing that the majority of the people that are, you know, in the United States, the citizens of this country, the voting public, the majority of them believe the lies of the tyrants. And they've been conditioned to do that. And they've been willing targets of that. And as a result of that, I no longer trust their judgment or their discernment. But that sort of sets us up for our topic tonight, but not really. Kate, I think you and I should try to launch into this topic a little bit tonight, and then let Red come in as he's willing to and able to. Kate, I think it'd be good for me just to start out by reading Ephesians, a part of Ephesians 6, and then I'd like to read a part of Luke 4. And I think that would be a good place for us to start. Do you agree?
Yes. I don't know if you know, just an interjection, I did a show last night on discernment, on that word. And it is very apropos to our topic tonight, because I don't think people even know what is meant by that word, discernment. And so I will be sprinkling in a few words on that, because that is the challenge that is posed to us by the very passage you're going to read tonight. So please go ahead.
Well, Red suggested that we need to tie these two scriptures together, and I hope that we can accomplish that this evening. After we open this up, we will be bringing in callers. I see a hand up in Colorado. So hang in there with us. We will get you involved in this conversation. This is Ephesians 6. I'm going to start in verse 10 and read through 18. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the assaults of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the worldly governors, the princes of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, which are in high places. For this cause, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to resist in the evil day, and having finished all things, stand fast. Stand therefore, and your loins girded about with verity, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye may quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray always with all manner of prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watch thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. The main thing that we're focusing on here is that verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the worldly governors, the princes of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness which are in high places. And now I want to turn to Luke 4 and read the first part of that chapter, starting with verse 1. And it says, and Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by that Spirit into the wilderness, and was there 40 days, tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. But when they were ended, he afterward was hungry. Then the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Then the devil took him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in the twinkling of an eye. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee and the glory of those kingdoms, for that is delivered to me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, they shall be all thine. But Jesus answered him and said, hence from me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone thou shalt serve. Then he brought him to Jerusalem to set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written that he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and with their hands they shall lift thee up, lest at any time thou shouldest dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a little season. And again, on this one, we're focusing on that one, that middle temptation, where Satan took him up to the high place and said, if you'll worship me, all these kingdoms I will give to thee. It says, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of those kingdoms, for that is delivered to me. Now, Red, you've said that that's a false claim. Would you like to elaborate on that?
Well, I dare say there's very, very few out there who have ever connected those two passages of Scripture together. Recognizing you know, that they fit together. And Satan, of course, you see, when he was created, and I really feel that the religious leaders of the world have failed to give the people the you know, the foundation that they need to understand this. Lucifer had been a creation of our Heavenly Father, and he had been created with a tremendous amount of power, and of course he was a spirit. We have to remember this. He is a spirit. He is not flesh and blood. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, when he was walking this planet, this earth, he was flesh and blood. And Lucifer, when he was created, was given dominion of planet Earth. And, of course, he was told how powerful he was, and one of the powers that he had was the power of choice, and he had the power to rebel against his creator. And the scripture tells us that he ascended into heaven. A third of the angels of heaven fell with him, and there was war in heaven, and Satan lost the battle. And of course, when we start in the book of Genesis, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the deep. And, you know, I ask a lot of people, I've had a lot of fun with it over the years, and saying, well, where is Lucifer anyway? Where's he at now? He wasn't out here, you know, on that cold blob of frozen dirt out there that our planet was at the, under that curse. He wasn't there. Well, you read the scriptures and you find that he is in heaven, and he will be in heaven until he is cast out of heaven in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations. Now, Lucifer has done everything he can, everything in his power, to maintain a stranglehold on the kingdoms of the earth. Now, how he does this, of course, is he deceives men, he deceives people, and he encourages them to seek power and dominion over people, other people. And when we read the story of Adam being created in the Garden of Eden, his commission from his creator was that they were to take dominion of planet Earth. So we have this conflict. Lucifer, he wants his kingdom or kingdoms on planet Earth, and our Heavenly Father just can't tolerate that evil spirit forever, because that evil spirit there in heaven, when he's before the throne of God, he is accusing our Creator with being unrighteous and unloving and all of that. He is the great accuser. When you read Revelations 12, you'll discover that he is known as the great accuser, and he's accusing you and I. And so I think that we have not had the kind of shepherds feeding the flock out here that, you know, understand all of this, and then they feed their flocks, and their flocks are without the information, they're without the background, the foundation upon which God's plan of redemption for planet Earth is based upon. And, you know, for years, and I've mentioned it on this program, for many years, I said I had never run into anybody that understood the most memorized verse in the entire Bible, the most popular verse, I guess, in the Bible, and that's John 3:16. And I had for years I said I've never found anybody that understands correctly what that John 3:16 is all about. It does not say, for God so loved mankind that he gave his only begotten son. It doesn't say that. For God so loved the world. And you and I are integral to this planet. We are of the dust of the earth. We came from the dust. And just as Adam did, just as the Lord Jesus Christ did, he came from the dust of this earth, the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Heavenly Father, his only begotten Son, as we speak, sits on his right hand right now. He sits on the right hand of his Father in a clay body, because Satan was not able to redeem the clay that God had used, that was used to form Christ. When Adam died, Satan was able to redeem the clay that God had used in the Garden of Eden to create Adam. God had taken the clay of the earth and formed a likeness of himself, and then he breathed the breath of life into him. And ever since then, there's been this conflict between Lucifer, a false god, and all his little gods. You see, you got to remember now, the first commandment says, it talks about there's the God. I wish somebody would read that Exodus account there of the first commandment. You know, thou shalt not have any other gods, and you'll notice it's a small g gods that he's talking about, and they're plural. There's only one capital G God, but there are many, many, many small G gods out there, and they're all working as part of Satan's army and his people. And apparently, there's an evil spirit that presides over the affairs of a country. In the book of Daniel, of course, it talks about the prince of Persia. That's an evil spirit that was the guiding spirit of Persia back there in Daniel's day. And so, I don't know, probably I'm going too far here for this, but I think that we have been shortchanged in our churches, in our upbringing, our education. When you read that in those, that text there in Ephesians, these are all spiritual terms, the principalities and powers. These aren't just political. The political powers in this country are really, they have to be manipulated by these small g gods that we've got out there. Because the political game that we are watching, and we're, kind of concerned about, the American voter, you can't trust him, you can't trust his choices, because for the most part they are believers, and you'll find very, very, very few knowers on planet Earth today. Belief systems are prevalent and dominant in this world that we're in now. And I better stop. I don't know if I answered your question or not, Terry. But we need to put this foundation. We need to get this foundation under us. Now, let me make something real clear. I want this to be the most clear thing that I say. That is, if you don't understand all of this, it really has nothing to do that much with your salvation. Your salvation depends on whether you have confessed your sins and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to wash your sins away with his blood that he left here on planet Earth. That's just the beginning. When you become a Christian, when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your God, as your Heavenly Father, that's the start. But what I've been talking about here is, it is so valuable, I think, for us as we live our lives, if we understand these simple truths that are there. They're highly visible in the scriptures. But we have become such a dependent people, we depend on others to tell us what the Bible says, and that's not really very, very smart. So I'll give this back to you, Terry.
Well, I'd like to bring out these words because I know that I struggled for a number of years really getting a handle of what this Ephesians 6:12 was saying. People don't really get a good picture, I don't think, of what these principalities, against what these powers, or against these rulers of darkness, or princes of darkness, as it says in, I believe, King James. So I went back to the original text and looked at the terms, and I've done this a number of times, and I did it again today in preparation for this show, and I think it's worth bringing out. The term, the Greek term for principalities, is the word arche, and it literally means first in time or order. It also refers to the first estate, or to a magistrate, or someone that rules. In this case, it could have implications well beyond what we, when we think of it as a principality, maybe as a governmental thing, which in essence it can be. But it also means first in time and rank, which means what came before us. Well, the angels came before us. The term powers, the Greek term is exousia, and that particular term, again, it even implies superhuman or a potentate. Some interesting terms that show up in that definition are mastery and token of control. It is a delegated influence of authority or strength or jurisdiction. The one that really struck me was the word for ruler. It is cosmic factor. And it refers, that particular term refers to a world ruler, and it also refers to an epithet of Satan. And in this context, the meaning of epithet that best applies is subordinate. So that ruler specifically is referring to a subordinate of Satan. One word that was kind of fun to look at for me was the word for darkness. The Greek term is scotus. I thought it was kind of funny how close that is to SCOTUS is in Supreme Court of the United States. But that term means shadiness, and it also means obscurity, literally translated darkness. But you can see how these terms really have a more spiritual meaning. I don't believe they're just spiritual. I believe they relate to physical people on this earth too, particularly those that are subordinates of Satan. But that particular term ruler, where it talks about the epithet of Satan, I believe really ties to that temptation where Satan offered the powers of the kingdoms and that Christ denied, that he walked away from. But so many here have received that same temptation and accepted it and became subordinates of Satan. So I believe that those two scriptures are specifically tied in that way, in that one of the things that we're wrestling with are those people who have accepted that specific temptation of Satan that he tempted Christ with in the desert. Now, Dr. Kate, you've got some other insight on this because of your studies, especially with the pastor down there that you've been studying with online. What would you add to this?
Well, more or less trying to thread some things together, I have always been interested in that statement of Satan where he said it's in Luke, which you read basically, yes, where he says, the devil said unto him, it's Luke 4:6, all of this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. This line, for that is delivered unto me, and whomever I will, I give it. And so this implies when Red was talking about, you know, where was Satan before God created man and created the earth, you know, the bounty of the earth. And I remember writing a post several months ago that just for some reason I was inspired to say the lights had been turned off before. So you think of this hurtling body of rock called Earth, and you think of that having been created by God, and that of the Earth being given to Satan. Satan was one of the angels, but he became rebellious, and that core of the earth, I mean, it was just all without form and void. And was it a previous creation in which Satan had blown it up, you know, had blown it again because he just refuses to be, to comply with God and doesn't recognize that he himself was created by God. And as a rebellious child, he did nothing with that. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He formed man out of the clay. So God looked at the world, it was out without form and void, and he said, let there be light, and let there be waters, and let there be a firmament, and let there be, you know, animals and man and creating man and so forth. And Satan was, for lack of a better word, pissed because this was supposedly his planet, his dominion, and he destroyed it. But he's been around, and right now, if Satan is a spirit as opposed to a walking man, then you can see how the Satan's chosen people become, you know, they become infected with the spirit of Satan, infected with him. And so we can point at individuals, you know, for example, as being evil, but we can't say any one of them is the devil. They carry that. So in the initial verse that you read in Ephesians, when you say, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, and I appreciate you describing those words, and I see those words as well, the principalities, the principles, as well as where was Satan? Where is Satan? Against the powers. What kind of power that Satan has? Against the rulers of darkness of this world. Who is the ruler of darkness in the beginning when earth was without form and void? So, you know, I'm just thinking out loud here and trying to pull these things together. Against spiritual wickedness in high places, not in a man, in high places, in spirit. And what is promised is that Satan will be thrown out of heaven, and a third of the angels are going to fall with him, and they're all going to fall here. And we know that we call them Luciferians. We know that Satan has infected everything. We know that, for example, our government, you know, is a counterfeit. It's in a lot of ways a counterfeit for God's word and God's law and God's one government, which will come. So, to me, this is beginning to get at the heart of the matter. If we pull this back even further to what we started this show with about, can we trust the voters? Well, now that we've had this last conversation in the last 15 minutes, I mean, what are we voting about? The discernment that is required to know that we are not fighting against flesh and blood, we're fighting against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is key. And I maintain, like I have been saying all these weeks, that if that is the place you're coming from, your chain of action, what you do, how you react is completely different than if you just see this as a matter of flesh and blood. And so I think we're on to something. Like I said, I've always been curious about this statement of where was Satan. And again, when you get to that passage in the scripture that says that all of these things, Satan saying, all of these things were given to me, and I will give to whoever I want to. And when we talk about who rules the world right now, it's Satan. I think that would come to a real surprise to a lot of people, that particularly that passage where Satan says, all these things were given to me. And that tells you right there what kind of battle we have been in since the day Adam was created and the world was created, is that God refused to allow Satan to screw this up and to form and to turn the earth, the world again into darkness and chaos and without light, form void. And when you think of hell and eternal death that awaits us if we follow Satan, what is that? It's dark. It's without it's void. It's without form. It's endlessly like that. It's terrible. It's terror. And it's devoid of spirit. And I can't think of anything worse than being devoid of spirit. So I'm saying that I think there's a lot to what Red said here about this term. I think there's a lot we have to look at when we realize that Satan is saying, all this stuff was given to me. And the choice that people have made to basically just believe the flesh and blood, just accept those kingdoms, and not knowing that, not knowing that Satan was behind that, such that now we are really, humanity, all of the world is at unbelievable place of wickedness. So again, going back to your first question, can we trust the voters? Like I say, what? trust them with what? And it is our task to discern right now who we are fighting and what we are fighting. Things are not going to get better with the election of this person or that person. And if we fall back to sleep, that's even worse. Not only will we not be able to deal with this counterfeit political system and so forth, but we will have missed the opportunity to put on the whole armor of God. If you put on the whole armor of God in this, you have a completely different perspective. It goes way beyond voting,
activity. To me, it was kind of the other way around in looking at that, those scriptures originally and now. I didn't really see in the early readings of this scripture about putting on the armor of God, I didn't really understand specifically what it was that required me to have on the armor of God. I thought it was just the fact that I live in a world of sin. Well, that's true, but it's not the whole story. There's a deeper, stronger, more powerful story here defining specifically who we're fighting and who we're battling.
Right, the principalities, the spiritual wickedness in high places, the darkness, rulers of darkness.
Let me say this. You know, I've gotten to be a rather outspoken person in the last 4 or 5 years, as you well know. Both of you have seen me get on my soapbox, but
really,
when I'm dealing, yeah, when I'm dealing with the average person out here, acquaintances, friends, family, whoever it is, you know, business associates, people that start to recognize that I have a little bit of unusual knowledge that I've researched or that I've gained or whatever, they start asking questions. And some of their questions are like, well, why would they spray that stuff in our skies? Or why don't they want to bring forward real medical cures? You know, you start to get, do you really believe that the politicians are a bunch of pedophiles and perverts that are involved in kidnapping children and putting them into these sex slave situations or sacrificial ceremonial killings? Or, you know, why would they do that? The one thing that is the hardest for them to accept is what appears to them to be totally illogical actions. Why wouldn't you want to cure people? Why wouldn't you want to, you know, make the agriculture better? Why would they want to destroy the middle class? And then you come around to the fact and use the term Luciferian. And I'm finding most people, I have to explain to them what I mean by that. What's that? They've never even heard the term before, much less have an understanding of it. And right here, we're looking in this scripture, and it tells us that these people are subordinates of Satan. And, you know, and it's just very, very difficult for the average person to accept that, even though, in my mind, it's something I know. It's not something I believe.
Yeah, and if you had the whole armor of God on, if you had the whole armor on, you would not ask, why would they do that? You would not be willingly deceived. You would say, oh, you would know. There wouldn't be a question.
It's like Red said a while ago, that essentially the churches are letting the people down because they're leaving them spiritually ignorant. I mean, why don't the people in the churches understand what a Luciferian is? They don't. They're not being taught these things. Red, you want to chime in on that?
Yeah, I, you know, this is a very important study as far as I'm concerned. Because, of course, I have spent years thinking about this and trying to put it all together. The evil spirits that are running amok in this country. Now, you see, the United States of America was a Christian nation at one time. To hold public office, you had to take a Christian oath. This, of course, you see, made it the United States a special target. The historians tell us that the monarchies of Europe were very, very, very concerned because we didn't establish a monarchy. And they were very concerned. They said, these people are going to be so successful. They're not going to be lackeys or servants of government. The government is supposed to serve the people. And so this, they tell us that this caused the monarchies of Europe to be very upset. And, of course, you see Horace Mann came to this country, I think from England, if I remember right. He was sent here. He was sent to the United States of America to con the people into thinking that they had to have government schools, a public education system. And he was very, very successful. And most thinking parents out there today know that our school systems, our education process in this country is... it's just a bad situation. We've got millions of kids that are being homeschooled, and not all of them being homeschooled are being taught what they should, but at least they're out from under a lot of the teaching that we have in government schools around the country. I think we need to recognize that the United States has been a special target. That's how come we've got the Democrats and Republicans, and it's such a facade, it's such a counterfeit thing, but there are plenty of people out there that don't know any better. And they're financing the Republicans, they're financing the Democrats, and they're spending billions of dollars on this particular campaign, and this is wealth that is made possible because of Lucifer. And his, you know, the wealth and power. When he said he would give the kingdoms of the earth, when he said he'd give the kingdoms of the earth to Christ if he would bow down and serve him, you know, there's people out there that wouldn't pass up an opportunity like that if they had that kind of an offer and such. And I think we have been so shortchanged in our teaching and such, and we've got a lot of ground to make up. But I think that we need to recognize that we are a special target, and we have been a special target ever since the Declaration of Independence and the Constitutional Convention of 1787. We've been a special target, and we have been a willing target far too much, too often. And of course, when we established all these seminaries and such to educate our pastors, our ministers, that was a terrible mistake, as far as I'm concerned. And they don't teach enough about the power of God and how to access that power of God. Christ, we saw there were the healings of the blind and the lame and all of that. And we don't see that anymore because the churches are powerless. They've been sidetracked. They've been too busy doing things that really have no spiritual bearing on people and such. And so, I think that this subject tonight could be one of the most important that we've ever had. Simply because, you know, you can't fight a war unless you know something about your enemy. And here we are, we're supposed to be, taking dominion of this planet. And Satan has had he's been able to freewheel. He's been able to operate without us, calling his fakes and all of that. And so I'll turn this back to you before I get to rambling here.
Well, that's all right. We have a caller online, and I'd like to go to the call and see what their comment or question is. Area code 303, you have a live mic.
Hi, this is Brian calling in.
Good evening, Brian, and welcome back to Walls in Our Minds.
Thank you. Part of what I'm going to say is really a response to the question of last week. It's important to realize that although we want to do the best we can in the spiritual world, in relationship to the existing people world, we have to also deal in the secular. To simply ignore that would, in my estimation, be quite naive. And we were discussing the fact that we are not the government of the United States. We are not the government of Israel. However, the truth of the matter is, whenever our government turns its back on the Israeli government, haven't you noticed that those governments, which are opposed to both Israel and the United States, take advantage of one or the other? And so, in truth, by doing that, we're playing the very card that evildoers around the world want us to play. While I may not agree 100% with the way Israel conducts its business, I disagree even more with the way the United States conducts its business. And I'm concerned because, for example, this evening, we're talking about kind of an evil spirit in the form of Lucifer, but Lucifer forms his or sets his plate with the palate of temptation, and temptation is a wonderful entrance into rationalization. And if we rationalize that succumbing to the temptation that we see will be improving our lives rather than creating mischief, we are far more likely to sin. And so therefore, it becomes the job, if you want to put it that way, of the spiritual people of the world, you, me, and others around us, to draw this fact to those people who are either too shallow or have been so ill-educated that they can't understand this. It becomes even more difficult when, for example, you, me, and everybody in this listening audience quite probably has an evil spirit of our own over which we did not have control. And that's called the various documentations which convert us from people into citizens of the corporation or persons in the corporation. And neither one of those entities has control of their lives because, in fact, they do not live. They simply create temptations and problems for the possessor of that citizenship and temptations for the people who dwell on that citizenship, and those being the very government forces that state, because you are a citizen of the corporation, you are therefore owned by the corporation, and we will not let you go. I hope that made sense.
I think I followed you. Kate, would you like to comment on that?
No, I think it was pretty clear last week that this is a very strong point. What I'd like to see us do is relate it to what we're talking about right now. And what would happen if we put on the whole armor of God and recognize that the corporation is one of Satan's tools and so forth and so on, where would that lead us to a different place? And how does that inform our discussion with people who are not aware of that?
The first thing you would need to do, Kate, is to have people recognize that they have been incorporated into the corporation. For example, whenever you look at your birth certificate, your Social Security card, your driver's license, and any other government-generated document, you are that entity which appears in all capital letters, even though that truly is not you. That's the representation before government of who you are. And so
I mean, there are a lot of people who absolutely agree with what you're saying on the corporation. I know that too. And but I don't see how that explanation gets us to a higher level. And so,
oh no, it doesn't. But
right.
It gives you the potential to go to a higher level.
Our discussion this evening, that's what my question was. We know what you're talking about. I do. I agree with you. And what we're trying to talk about now is somewhat of a broader view or a different kind of view. Because I feel like if we put on the whole armor of God, we wouldn't stop with that, letting people know their corporations. We'd have to, of necessity, move forward to talk about the corporation being an instrument of Satan. And then we move beyond that to talk about spiritual wickedness in high places and how this came to be. Because, you know, there's no disagreement with what you said at all. It's just I was trying to figure a way to connect it with the discussion we're having right now.
Well, and maybe I can help you by asking a question. That question being, how would you break free of that corporate design?
Well, there's a lot of people out there who have been persecuted in their efforts to do just that.
Right.
You look at Pastor Jim Grove, who's right now fighting. He had a new kidney put in, and he's out there battling this. But he stood in the church of Greg Dixon's church while they were trying to mow it down with bulldozers to prevent them from doing it. And eventually, they finally bulldozed that church. But those people are refusing to be registered, refusing to be a 501c3. And if the people in the churches could come to get on the full armor of God, they would fear God more than they fear this false God that's our federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it really has to begin. If you're going to have courage, I would think that a good amount of that courage is from the fact that you recognize that your eternal life is worth more to you than anything that they're going to throw at you right now. And that in order to be a 501c3 church and to succumb to Satan's rulers, you know, that have set up this police state under this corporate umbrella that you've talked about, they don't have as much power as people have fear for them. And if you've got the full armor of God on, you're going to know who you're supposed to fear, and it's not them. I mean, they can
kill
us.
Do you think it would be useful to state to the powers that be, for lack of a better term, that you refuse to accept the term residence or dominion, either one, but that you simply are a people living on the land, and
that land has been provided
to you by God.
That's what people have been doing. I just don't think right now, for me, it's important for me to tell them anything, and I'm not hiding. It's just that I don't acknowledge their authority. I don't. And, you know, the authority that I speak to. But see, what I'm saying is that, you know, if we have lots of examples of people trying to do exactly what you were saying, unless there is a massive effort to do that, it's not going to work. They basically have all the avenues locked down right now. And so, for me, I don't feel the need to tell them anything. And I'm just going to obey my God and move along. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful here, but I really do think that we can see this on a secular level, and there's a certain path that we should naturally take. And then we can see this on a spiritual level, put on the whole armor of God, and wait till God tells us what places we need to be. I.e. a Gideon strategy. Someone is going to do this. Some group are going to be able to do this, but it's not going to be the way that we've been thinking about right now, because we are trapped too much in our own minds. We are trapped in the trappings of man, not thinking about the larger picture, the spiritual picture.
We've got a gentleman right here in our presence who for at least the last, 27 years at least, Red?
35 years.
Has taken an absolute stand against this false federal God. Red, you want to give a little of your own testimony about that?
Well, I know where Brian is coming from, because I have been through all of this in the past, talking about the corporation and all of that. Now, you see, our Heavenly Father is very creative. And so, you see, Lucifer is a false god. He's a counterfeiter. And so he has to, you know, he has to see to it that things get created within the scope of his power that he has, within the limitations. He cannot create new life, as our Heavenly Father can do. And we have to recognize that a corporate structure is something that is created by these principalities and these powers, these Republicans and Democrats and such, when they get into office. Why, in most states, why you can apply to the Secretary of State and you can file and become a created, your business can become a business created as a corporation. And so a corporation, you see, is a creature created by a counterfeit, you see.
Yes.
A counterfeit god, a counterfeit power. They do everything they can to make it so that the creation that Lucifer approves of is... you know, that they can bless people with tax advantages, and they can bless people with limited liability and all of this kind of thing. This is something, you see, that I remember when I was a board member of an evangelical church, and it was the church, this is before I got a little wisdom, I guess, and I was on the board, and the denomination was not a big, large one or anything, but they had a very basic Christian faith that I appreciated at that time. But the church was not incorporated. And so there was a lawyer sent by the denomination to meet with the board and tell the board about the advantages of having a corporation. And he made it sound very good. And so the church became incorporated. Well, that church, when it allowed itself to become a corporate creature created by a Luciferian-dominated government, that was a recipe for, you know, real serious problems. And so all your large religious organizations. My father was a supporter of different ministries. He supported Oral Roberts to the tune of a lot of money. And everybody thought it was so great when the ministry announced that they had gotten themselves incorporated. And you see, this is where false teaching, you know, and the failure to teach. You see, we should have been taught that these principalities and such, they tap into the creative powers of we the people. We were created in the likeness of our Heavenly Father. He is very creative. We were to be creative. He is very productive. We were to be very productive. And you see, you've got, and I've mentioned this before, you've got people out there that use these, they misuse these creative powers that our Heavenly Father has put within people to create weapons of war. See, Satan wants every one of us dead. He wants us all dead. We all came from the dust of planet Earth, and he claims planet Earth is his own. And so he redeemed the clay that God used to create Adam, to form Adam, and all the people in between. And, of course, this is what made the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ such a monumental, such a wonderful, wonderful and powerful thing, because Lucifer was not able to redeem the clay that they laid in that tomb, because when he came out of that tomb, there was his body was not there, and his body, his clay body, sits on the right hand of God the Father. Now, this is, to me, this is so fantastic. And, you know, if we understand this. And so Brian, you have to realize you're defending Israel, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I guess I hope I'm mistaken. But Israel that we have today is not the Israel of the Bible. It is a counterfeit, and it is a satanic counterfeit. And you see, you got to go to passages of Scripture like 1 John. 1 John 2:22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And you see, Judaism is the dominant religion. There is no Christian religion. If you hand out Christian Bibles in Israel on a tour over there, you're apt to end up with 5 years in jail. And Judaism is the religion of that counterfeit Israel, and Judaism denies that Christ came. There's a lot more. You know, he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist. And so don't ever forget that, and don't ever forget the passage of Scripture that I've used quite often, and that's Matthew 23:15. Christ was having a verbal exchange with the scribes and the Pharisees, and the scribes and the Pharisees in Christ's day were the hierarchy of Judaism. They were not the hierarchy of the Christian faith or the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. No, they were anti. They were anti-Christ. And Christ was having this verbal exchange with them, and he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when you have made him, he becomes the twofold son of hell, even worse." And so, you know, you've got to be very careful that you recognize who is the God. You need to know, recognize who the God is of China, communist China. Who is the God there? It's not the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, at this point in time, I don't know if there is a church or a nation on the face of the earth today that we could really call Christian. I don't know. We need to serve in our individual capacity to the best that we can, as strong as we can, And, of course, he has promised us the power to be able to do that. So I'll go back to you, Terry.
Well, I think that the whole corporate scene is something that's really been a strong belief in the Patriot movement as a whole, and I've seen a number of different people try to attack it this way that have ended up being persecuted pretty well. There's like the Red Amendment, for example, by Bork and some others that have taken this attack in order to remove yourself from the jurisdiction. And it's worked in some cases, hasn't worked in other cases, but in most cases it's basically put people in a position with a target on them, and in some cases have actually ended up in jail trying to fight it that way. And we've been trying to figure out solutions here at Walls in Our Minds. And most of these solutions come back to a spiritual battle. So we focus on the spiritual, and we think that that's probably more productive than some of these other means of battling it. It's kind of like the way our medical community masks symptoms rather than bringing forth real cures. And that's kind of what this whole approach does. If you don't get to the root of it, to the spiritual battle part of it, then you're basically masking symptoms, if that makes any sense.
It makes abundantly good sense, Terry. And I think that perhaps some people have misunderstood what I was trying to say. I can't personally think of a government anywhere in the world that I can think of as being positive, healthy, normal, and good. I can well believe that Israel is no less evil than our own government. And having so said, I know of a number of governments in Arab countries where Islam is the predominant faith, which would purposefully do us harm at the first provocation or even non-provocation, i.e. the Twin Towers, the Pentagon, and the attempt on the Capitol building. All I'm saying is that in Israel, at least we have a kinship, which we do not have with any of the Islamic faith countries. For example, above the doors of the Supreme Court is the image of Moses, because we are supposed to be conducting ourselves in accordance with Mosaic law. That we do not is simply another sign of the evilness of government. And also I am saying that by showing weakness in supposed ignorance or dissing Israel is in the eyes of many of these Islamic countries and Islamic governments a sign of weakness and is therefore taken advantage of. It doesn't mean that I like the idea of doing business with evildoers, but I like that idea far more than having evildoers do business against us, the people, as the result of the ineptitude of our United States government.
Well, Brian, let me just let me just, instead of playing games here, let me just lay it out for you the way I see it. I sincerely believe that the Twin Towers was a CIA Mossad operation. I believe that our government had knowledge of what was going on and was complicit. And I believe that the World Zionist Congress has been directly involved at fomenting World War I, World War II, and all the conflicts that we've been in ever since. I believe that the majority of the, and when I say majority, I'm talking about 90% of those that claim to be Jews in the world today do not follow Mosaic law. They do not follow the Torah. They follow the Talmud, and they pray to Lucifer. They are not of Judah. They are not of Judeos, which is the actual term in the scripture. The term Jew didn't even exist. It was of Judeos. And the majority of those that claim to be, that are in fact Kabbalist, Talmudic, Judaism is what they follow. It's a religion, not a race, as Red has said. And it's the truth. These are the people who have been fomenting a lot of this stuff. And to think that we are in alliance with the Mossad is buying right into the deception of the counterfeit that has been put before us, that we've grown up under, that we've been conditioned by, that we've been controlled by. That is buying directly into their lies. And that's what I believe.
And I agree with you, believe it or not. I agree with everything that you've just said, especially with the Twin Towers. However, I note that all of our governments have become intertwined. And this is where I observe that until we take control of our own government, we are going to continue to practice unhealthy practices, which our forefathers directed us not to become involved in. What I'm simply saying is that as long as this situation exists, so that our government are intertwined, it seems to me to be practical to do business with those who would be more understanding towards what it is to be an American, and for the most part at this particular time have more there are more Jewish people in the United States than people practicing Islam. However, if we keep things going on the course which they currently are, we are going to find ourselves with a situation, and perhaps it's a confederation between the CIA, the Mossad, and whoever the nefarious parties in Islam are, but we're going to have situations all around the United States where Sharia law is practiced and various other kinds of grotesquities against our own people. And so I'm simply stating what seems to me would be obvious. It's better to know the liar that you can see than the liar that you cannot. And I mean, to me, that's just
a
good practice.
Right there is our whole problem. We would prefer to see the liar that we can see and just prefer to ignore the real liar. So, you know, again, I insist we're talking on two different levels here, and I will not make allies with evil. Two allies aligning around evil is just not going to work. There's a lot of political history here. Terry just told you about 90% of the Jews in the United States are Talmudic Jews.
Which is more evil, Kate, Islam or Judaism?
They are all evil. And you must have missed the distinction between the true Judaism and the Jews. And
I haven't missed it.
Yeah, I think you have. You just stated that you did. What's more evil, Judaism or Islam? What do you mean? Which Judaism? Talmudic?
Which Islam?
Let me interject something here. I have mentioned this before in past programs. The Bible tells us that Satan is the god of this world. It also tells us he's the god of confusion. He has no ability, apparently, to harmonize anything. And so what is going on, you see, is you have, you've got country A, and they created a tyrant, and he's a very charismatic leader. And he gets people lined up behind him, and they got another country over here, a neighbor country perhaps, and they've got a leader that's pretty well spoken. He knows how to wow an audience and all, and they will be right at each other's throats. The German army in World War II tried to go to Moscow, and they didn't make it, of course, and thousands of people died on both sides. And Lucifer, he enjoyed every drop of blood that was spilled there, because that is what he wants. And so just because you've got two countries, one Islamic and one is Judaism, they're at each other's throats, you might say. But Lucifer himself, he's the god of both of them, but he deals through his princes and such. And confusion, he loves confusion. And so that's his stock in trade, is confusion. And so we want to try to stay away from the confusion in our discussion if we can. But, you know, all these different religions, I've said it for many years that I was fairly well convinced that Catholicism had been created by the hierarchy in Judaism, because they needed a counterfeit Christian church to compete with the true Christian. And they created all this confusion by doing this. And so we have to discipline our minds. When we see confusion, we should just automatically, you know, add the fact that it must be satanic. It must be satanic forces at work, because God is not the author of confusion. And so when you see confusion, and of course this is why I wrote in my first book 32 years ago and said that Satan is the god of the religious world. And I thought I was sticking my neck out quite a ways, but I thought I'd catch some feedback, but I never have, and we sold them books by the truckload practically, and so I wonder about it, how many people really recognize what I said when I said that Satan is the god of the religious world, because the religious world, and I added the logic to it, and that's why I think I didn't get any feedback on that out of the book. I said there's more confusion in the religious world than there is in the political world. You've got a half a dozen basic political philosophies out there, but look at all of the religions. As I said one time in federal court in Fort Worth, Texas, I was on the witness stand, but I ended up questioning the prosecutor. I was a witness, and I asked him some questions, what he believed. And he told me what he believed, and then I said, now you've told me what you believe. Now I want to know what you know. And he was just a babbling idiot almost. And I told him, I said, there are thousands of religious creeds and cults on planet Earth, and that's all you've got is another religion. He's got a religion. He's a bar association attorney. He's got the religion, the government of the United States religion. He is part and parcel of the government, the religion of the government. And so I better shut up, I guess.
Red, I don't want you to shut up. I think that was a great point, but I, you know, you said that you thought it was really important to tie these two scriptures together, specifically the temptation of Christ, which you find in Matthew 4 as well as Luke 4 and Ephesians 6:12. You said it was important, and I didn't really get what you're trying to accomplish by educating people on the fact that these two scriptures are tied. Can you tell us what you want to accomplish? Why is it important?
Well, I think that the statement that Lucifer gave to Christ, he said, if you will bow down and serve me, I will give you all of the earth's kingdoms. Satan likes kingdoms. The more the merrier for him. And I don't think there's ever been a government out there that wasn't, where Satan wasn't able to get in and pervert. You see, perhaps the founders like our country, where they had basically were Christian people. There was a determined effort to pervert, what these people had put together, and boy, they've done a masterful job. And I think that, you know, I've never heard a sermon on this in my life, and I think that, you know, it's too bad, because principalities and powers. This is what Lucifer was promising to the Lord Jesus Christ if he would bow down and serve Lucifer. And that's what we've got. You know, that's our political system today. Is just exactly what Lucifer was trying to use to subvert the Lord Jesus Christ and his mission on planet Earth.
Can I make a comment here? It occurs to me that Kate is absolutely right. We're talking about two different things, but I'm not sure that she and I would agree on the two different things that we're talking about. I'm talking about the existing governments of now and the existing peoples of now. It seems to me that it is a tremendous waste of time belittling Judaism if our ire should be directed against the government of Israel or the government of the United States. I think that it would be very useful to take those strengths from the Hebrew faith and talk directly to Jewish people about those and their usefulness in the foundation of Christian beliefs, and by so doing, perhaps convert some and at least grow a kinship with others, while at the same time pointing the finger of evil against both the government of the United States, the government of Israel, and all of the governments of any Islamic nation anywhere in the world that would war against the people of the United States. And so, Terry, while I agree 100% with your idea that that the Twin Towers was an inside job, it was an inside job from at least three different directions, including the Mossad, including the CIA, and including the Arab actors who were flying the airplanes and taking the people hostage on board. So, you see, it's one thing to belittle the governments as they deserve to be belittled, and to actually war against them, which is what I'm proposing is the only way of taking back control of that which we ceded or had mandated taken away from us in the American government.
Brian.
Yes, sir.
We need to kind of shift to thinking, but I do want to respond to a couple of things you said. One, we're not talking about the Hebrew faith.
Mm-hmm.
We're not belittling anybody in the Hebrew faith. What we're trying to do is identify the fact that those people who have taken control of the governments around the world, including our own and including Israel, these people are not of the Hebrew faith. They are proselytes to Talmudic Kabbalist Judaism, which is not the law of Moses. It's not the Torah. They are not of the bloodlines of Judea. They're not of Judeos. They are what Christ refers to as a synagogue of Satan. And I really highly recommend anybody that wants to have an understanding of this to read the book called Synagogue of Satan. And if anybody wants to know about who's behind things like all of the false flags that we've had, including all the wars that have been fomented that we've been in, there's a young man by the name of Ryan Dawson who created a three-hour video. It is just absolutely awesome how it ties together all of the dots. You know, it connects the dots. It's called War is Always by Deception. That is a phenomenal film. I totally recommend people spend the 3 hours and watch it on. It's online. You can go look it up under YouTube, whatever. You'll find it. War is Always by Deception. It is a phenomenal education piece. We are not belittling the people of Israel here. We have nothing against true Israel, which we believe is far beyond and inside and outside of the nation of Israel. But if you read the book and you look at the history, you find out that the whole Zionist movement is a Rothschild creation.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get into that, you know, we've got to stop following Lucifer. We got to stop feeding the beast. You know, the beast includes Rome. It includes the people who are behind these governments, these false god governments that are counterfeit. This group that now calls itself Israel is a counterfeit, just the same way that the corporate entity of the United States of America is a counterfeit. And we've got to stop feeding those beasts. And what we're trying to do is identify the fact of who we're wrestling with, who we're fighting with. Who are these principalities and powers? Who are they? Well, they fall under the purview of Satan. And we're trying to identify those people who pray to Satan, pray to Lucifer. They are the problem. They own our networks. They own our media. They own our top newspapers. They control our education system. They own our pharmaceutical companies. They've infiltrated all of the education. They're the ones that produce our movies. They're the ones that own most of our professional sports teams. It's the same people, and Christ himself refers to them as a synagogue of Satan. And what is so important about connecting these two scriptures together is that you begin to identify, based on the teachings of Christ, exactly who these people are, and he foresaw that 2,000 years ago. And it's connected. That's the point, is that these scriptures are connected with the temptation of Christ. Christ faced that temptation. He knows who the synagogue of Satan is, and he knows that they are the subordinates of Lucifer, of Satan, that tempted him. He knows that they are the ones that have accepted the offer of Lucifer to have the powers and dominion over these kingdoms that Lucifer lays claim to, but that we know ultimately God's going to destroy him and everybody that's associated with him. And so we're feeding the beast. When we pay our income taxes, that money goes into these people's pockets.
Absolutely.
They're the ones that have brought forward the Roe versus Wade stuff, the 14th Amendment, 15th Amendment, 16th, 17th. These are the same people who have fraudulently put these things in when they were not properly ratified by the states. So the whole thing is counterfeit. The whole thing is deception. Lucifer is the father of those lies, and we're trying to identify those who those liars are and make people aware that they've got to stop believing those lies. That's what we're saying. It has nothing to do with attacking the people of Israel or the Hebrew faith, because Christ came out of that. And those that don't follow him, you know, are part of that synagogue of Satan.
Terry, I'm glad that we have come to this place where I understand that perhaps I was wrong in hearing things incorrectly. But it's good that at least by coming to that conclusion, perhaps we have made this a great deal more clarified for other people like myself who were misunderstanding.
Good, thank you. I've been trying to articulate this in a way that you'll understand where we're coming from, because I sincerely believe that a lot of people are in the same boat. And I know that when I'm talking to people and trying to relate this stuff to them, it's tough. It's tough because we've all been preconditioned on all of this stuff so much, even our churches. That's another one of Red's points. The churches need to be teaching this stuff and stop being concerned about whether you're going to run somebody off or if your donations are going to go up or down or, you know, the size of your church is going to change. We got to teach the truth no matter what the result is. And that's the problem that we've got in this country right now. We stopped organizing our militias through the churches. We stopped teaching the truth to the churches, and the churches are all selling out to the corporate entities that you've been complaining about. I mean, that's the problem, is that they're all succumbed to the corporate structure. And it's not law. It's not law. It's a counterfeit. It's a lie. It's another deception. There's no law that says that our churches have to be corporations to be tax exempt. There's no such law. It doesn't exist. Yet this is the path they've gone down. And excuse me. And frankly, you know, we know factually that the Jesuit order has infiltrated all of our seminaries. The whole futurist, the whole preterist concepts came out of the Jesuits. And on an esoteric level, who are the Jesuits associated with? Well, if you look at the Vatican Bank, you find out that the person that was responsible for helping them get that going was Rothschild, the same people we've been talking about, the synagogue of Satan. They're all related. Who started Islam? Muhammad's wife was a Jesuit nun. They fomented that whole thing. The Jews of that day, the Sephardic Jews that were down around the Mediterranean region, not the Ashkenazim that represent the people we're talking about, but the Sephardic Jews, which are of Hebrew heritage, they used to get along just fine with the Arab world until the Jesuits fomented Islam and convinced Muhammad that the Jews wanted to kill all the Arabs. And it was them that did it, and they did it to help wipe out the Orthodox Christian Church and Protestantism around the Mediterranean. I mean, when you start looking at this and you recognize who the synagogue of Satan is, it all boils back down to one thing. These people are Luciferians, and they pray to Lucifer. And they're the ones that want to kill off 85% of the population in our country. They're the ones that are responsible for bringing forth the legislation and convincing the people and taking over the courts to kill off 60 million of our children that would be our workforce today. It's all the same people. They all follow Lucifer. That's the key here, identifying the counterfeits, because that's what Lucifer does. He sets up counterfeits everywhere. That's the corporation you're talking about, is the Luciferian counterfeit that took the place of our country, of our government, that is, in fact, a false god. It is a counterfeit.
Rich, thank you, Terry. Have a good evening. And Ruth and Red as well.
Okay. Thank you, Brian. Red, would you like to make a comment here? We've got about 7 or 8 minutes left.
Well, I think that we got exactly what I anticipated with this, because it's not been taught. This has not been brought out to our church-going people, our Christian people. I said it over and over. I grew up in church, and so I have a pretty good recall of a lot of things from the past. And I think we've missed so much, and now is the time that we need to understand our foundations, the foundations of our faith, and Lucifer, he was judged once when God turned out the light and the earth became without form and void. But he was a spirit, and he didn't repent. He had access to the throne of God because he was in a spirit. And when he perverted the new creation, you see, God had an investment in planet Earth. He had spoke this planet into existence and all, and it irritated him to have that creation of his under such a curse. And so I'm sure that he put Lucifer on notice that he was going to come back and recreate and get planet Earth back to what it should be and what he would like to have. And I'm sure that he told Lucifer, if you tamper with this creation, if you pervert this creation, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to have you bound with chains, and I'm going to cast you into the bottomless pit. And that's where you're going to be. You're not going to be here before my throne accusing me of being unrighteous and unfair and whatever. And so This is the future, and we just have to realize that Lucifer's days are numbered. In Revelation 12, it tells us that he really goes, really becomes very active there when he is cast out of heaven, because he knows his time is short, and this is the hope that we need to hang on to, that his time is short, that God is going to put him in a place where he is not going to be before the throne of God accusing his creator of being unjust or whatever. And so this is exciting stuff. And it's also, I think, it will build our faith and strengthen our faith. To where we can be more of what God would have us to be, and have us speaking and speaking out and testifying and witnessing to the power of the Almighty God. Back to
you,
Terry.
Thank you, Red, and thank you for suggesting this topic tonight. Really hope that God's healing hand is on you, Red. We need your guidance, and you always point us in the right direction, and you also bring a positive attitude and a positive viewpoint to these solutions. And just thank you for keeping us on track, Red. And
Terry. Terry, I've had just a whole bunch of phone calls trying to get through, and so I'm gonna drop off here because one of them says it's an important call and whatnot.
Go right ahead.
So I'll drop off. But God bless you all and good night and God bless.
Go right ahead. We'll see you later, Red.
Night, Red.
So, Kate, I know you wanted me to give this wrap-up, but I got a feeling you got 2 minutes in you.
I just think this was a great discussion tonight. I think, for me, I keep talking about that we're talking on two different levels. And we got to that point where we understood, I believe, that it makes no sense saying, who's more evil, this or that? They're both evil. And as long as we are playing on that ground of Satan's, we are not talking about God. And that's what Satan likes. I think in my own evolution, yes, there is resistance that we must still have, but we're not going to stop the tribulation. It's coming. It's here. And we're not going to stave off any destruction, save the entire world repenting and asking for forgiveness of sins and being washed clean. So I think this was an excellent discussion. I want to thank you for your guidance, and thank Red for pulling these two pieces of scripture together, and thank Brian for raising the questions that we all have to address and that are very common. So with that,
it's certainly something I run into repeatedly in the Patriot movement.
Yeah, and it's important that the Patriot movement have this discussion as well. So with that, I'll ask you to close, Terry, and I'll close this with some nice music.
Thank you. Almighty Father God, we're just thankful for the opportunity to talk about your word and your truth, and especially to have you help us identify these counterfeits. We just lift you up as the real and true God, the righteous, holy Father, and we just lift up your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. We're just thankful that you allow for us to have this show and this venue and listeners that will challenge us and folks that will call in and make us think, because that's really what this is about, helping us to see the truth that's going on around us and figuring out solutions. We know that you will provide our ultimate solution because of your son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Dressed in his robe.